We are in the last Sundays of the church calendar year, and lessons during this period often turn their attention to the end of times. Our first reading is from the book of the prophet Zephaniah, the first chapter, and we read verses 7 through 16. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice, consecrated his guests. And on the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons and all who array themselves in foreign attire. On that day, I will punish everyone who leaps over the threshold, those who fill their master's house with violence and fraud. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will be heard from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of the mortar, for all the traders are no more. All who weigh out silver are cut off. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps. I will punish the men who are complacent, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. Their goods shall be plundered and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. Great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. Sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. Mighty man cries aloud there. Day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Day of trumpet blasts and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them. Labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. You are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. Since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 14. Jesus said, It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. He who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gathered where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and we will have an abundance. But from the one who has not even what he has will be taken away. Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. That place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My text for today is taken from your gospel lesson. To one he gave 5 talents. To another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. This is our text. You know, when I was growing up in a family where most children were divided by 4 years, my sister was 6 years older than me, my brother, older brother, was 4 years older than me, and my younger brother was 4 years younger than me. And growing up in that kind of spread, there was a constant complaint within our family. How come they get to do that and I can't? You know, like even at bedtime. How come they get to stay up later and I can't? Constant complaint. Well, if you're a parent, you know the answer to those kinds of questions. 4 years difference. Children are different. They each have different abilities, including the ability to stay awake. But in our world, and particularly in the United States, I think, You know, we grow up with this understanding that, you know, the Declaration of Independence, all men are created
equal.
Yes, that's right. And there are some ways in which we are equal. We are equally loved by God. When our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died on the cross, he didn't die just for some people. God so loved the world. When he paid for our sins on the cross, he didn't just pay for some types of sins or for the sins of some type of people. Paid for all sins, for all people. The hope that we have as Christians is one hope: to live an eternal life forever in glory with God through that redemption that Christ won for us in his death and in his resurrection. So in many ways, we are equal before God. But there are also ways that God made us different. We all have different abilities. Perhaps on a most basic level, God made us male and female. The differences don't stop us there. You can read in 1 Corinthians 12, for instance, how God has given us all different gifts. Some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be workers of mercy, some to be teachers. Many are the gifts that God has given to us. So in many ways, we aren't all the same. We aren't all equal. But particularly, I think, in these hard times, it's important for us to remember that while we may not perhaps all have the same abilities, when God places challenges before us, when God calls upon us to do things, he does so in accordance with the abilities that he's always given us. And there's another significant passage of Scripture that I'd like to call upon in this regard. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, in which we read, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. With the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape. You may be able to endure it." God knows you better than you know yourself. And if perhaps lately you've been saying things to yourself such as, "I don't know how much more of this I can take," you may be right. You don't know how much more of it you can take. But God knows you. And he knows your abilities. He's not going to challenge you more than he's already gifted you to accomplish. And if we recognize that truth about God, We really don't have anything to fear or worry about. Well, that doesn't mean that times aren't going to be hard for us. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be challenges we're going to have to overcome each and every day. But God knows you. He knows you because he created and he designed you. He knows how much to ask of you. He also knows what he can't ask of you without providing some other means of support that you can stand up under it. That passage I read from 1 Corinthians 10:13 has a lot that it says in very short words. But sometimes we overlook some of the important things that are mentioned in that one single passage that are important for understanding its full implications for our daily life. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. That's how it starts out. Ever heard somebody utter the complaint, nobody understands what I'm going through? Young people often make that complaint with their parents. You just don't understand. And if you're a parent, either here today or at home, chances are if your children ever said that to you, you were probably thinking in your mind, oh, you don't understand me. Been there, done that. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability without providing a means of escape. That's another important phrase that we need to remember when we think we are being challenged too much by God. God gives us abilities to accomplish certain things. But he doesn't give us all the abilities, all the gifts that could be numbered in this world of ours. And so sometimes we need to ask for help in order to accomplish what God is calling on us to accomplish in our lives. You know, one of the most important principles of our faith is that we're not saved by what we can do, we're saved by what God can do for us. When it comes to eternal salvation, we get that. I can't pay for my own sins. God had to pay for them on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But when it comes to our daily life, sometimes our pride in ourselves gets in the way of accomplishing what God wants to accomplish in our lives. We want to do it our way, even though there are other ways to do it. We want to do it ourselves, even though we don't quite have everything we need to do it ourselves. We have to ask for help. And often asking for help is very difficult for people to do. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not tempt you beyond your ability to endure without also providing a means of escape. If you believe that things are getting to be just a little too much for you to handle, you're probably right. that doesn't mean they can't be handled. If we put our faith and trust in God, if we believe in the grace that God has given us, and we're asking for Him to help us in whatever ways that He wants to do that, including through the other people that God surrounds us with in our lives, our families, with our neighbors, with our church, whatever other tools and resources that God puts into your life. Getting back to the words of our parable, when God called upon these three individuals, He distributed gifts for them to use based on their abilities. Then He went away and He let them work with what He had given them. And two were very successful with what God, or the master in this case, had given them. The one who was given 5 talents, he made 5 more. The one given 2 talents, he made 2 more. But one person, if you will, failed miserably. Now, he could have just given his 1 talent to the bankers and made interest and still have been blessed by his master. In other words, if he was too worried about doing what he was asked to do, he could have asked others to help him, and everything would have been okay. But there's some important language also in this parable to keep in mind. In regards to this man's attitude toward his master. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more. One who had made 2 talents came forward, and he'd made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." This last man did not live in trust with his master. He feared him. And interestingly, what he feared is that if the master gave him something to use, and he made something with it, to whom would those proceeds belong? They'd still belong to the master. You see, the master over the servants, when he blessed those other two additionally, the joy that they had was his joy. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And he gave them even more to work with. But this last servant did not live in trust. His joy wasn't his Lord's joy. He didn't see his gains as his master's gains. He wanted to be his own master. If he worked hard, he wanted to be able to reap for himself what he gained. In short, though he was identified by the master as a servant, he wasn't one. He was essentially all about himself. And that there was nothing to be gained for himself by something he did. He wasn't going to do it. Our Lord didn't call upon us to live just for ourselves. Our Lord created and designed us to live in community with him. To see ourselves not as isolated little islands, having to take on the world by ourselves, so that when we reap something, we could reap it for ourselves. But existing in a joyful relationship with him, meeting the challenges of the world not just with our own resources, but with the resources that he has supplied. Using our own abilities when that would meet the need. Not afraid to call upon others to help us when our abilities weren't up to the entire task confronting us. God knows the challenges that we are undergoing. And he knows our abilities. Put your faith and your trust in him, not just for your eternal salvation, but in whatever challenges you are meeting right now in your life. If you are beginning to feel overwhelmed, pray to God to show you other ways, other people, other avenues through which you can meet what you are being called upon to do. And remember that in it all, God is faithful. He's not going to let us be challenged beyond our abilities without also providing a means of escape. We can stand up under it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.